War Eagle, everybody, welcome back to a Second Takes podcast, another episode, another day coming to you again today. Hope you're having a good week and getting ready for this weekend in Louisiana Tech. We're going to open with some general thoughts today, get into what we thought about the Kansas State game and look ahead to that Louisiana Tech game. As always, my wonderful co-host and the guy you hear opposite of me most each and every podcast, Ben, how you doing?
I'm pretty dang good.
Good deal.
Pretty dang good.
What's going on in the world of Ben today?
Let's see. The biggest thing is I finally got myself a new vehicle, so I'm ecstatic about that.
Nice.
Oh, old busted is no more. It's time for the new deal. I haven't picked out a nickname for it yet, but I'll find one. But that's what got me giddy.
I noticed there were some things missing from your new vehicle, by the way.
Oh?
Didn't see a whole lot of Auburn stuff on it.
Oh, it's coming. You can't just put any old thing on there. You got to make sure it accentuates the car and represents Auburn respectfully.
There you go.
It's a thought out process. Pre-planned.
So you're not going to do like I saw a fan of the school across the state on the west side there who just made their car into like a giant elephant, right?
Yeah, no, see, that's what we call stupid. I think they go with a Bamarific.
Maybe so.
It just looks like the elephant is trying to mate with the car.
That's pretty much what it looks like.
And I think that happened in Ace Ventura. So congratulations for watching Ace Ventura and your copy of the 92 championship on VHS and having an idea.
Making an odd Jim Carrey kind of reference there. Have you seen that the new Dumb and Dumber movie's coming out?
Yes, it is. And I will watch it. I won't repeat some of the things I saw in the Red Band trailer, but I want to see it. It should be fun. Though apparently this state has Dumb and Dumber Master.
I was gonna say I don't know. I don't know what the premise of it is. I briefly caught like a tail end of a teaser the other day on TV, but
it's like 20 years later. Like you'll find out real quick what they've been up to, from my understanding.
Okay. Well, great. Well, Ben will have a full review of that. I'm sure.
Wait until December. Yeah.
There you go. All right, well, let's get into just some opening thoughts. Ben, what's been kind of turning around in your brain just in general lately?
Just in the world of football as a whole, just college football, last week to me seemed like a week of almost. We almost got it. We almost did it. You know, that thing. And the four teams I'm going to pick on specifically, Florida and West Virginia and Washington State. And most importantly, Clemson.
Nobody Clemson's like Clemson.
Oh, they Clemson the crap out of that. God, I was so mad. I was mad after that, and I was mad I stayed up and watched Oregon and Washington State because I thought it can happen. But it was just a whole week of almost.
Right.
I don't know what was going on, but there was just something about it.
And probably the only other team that can Clemson as well as Clemson is probably Florida.
True, true. And sure enough, it's nothing like, and ESPN, sure enough, Alabama struggles in the first half. No, Alabama shines. Da, 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 da. I'm like, well, no, because of ball security, they almost got beat. They were tied in the first half. So, you know, I'm pretty sure they're not perfect.
Right. Well, the thing for me is, as you know, I cover softball or began covering softball for a college in Magnolia. So on the softball front, the team started fall practice here last few days. They're going faster, staying with that hashtag Auburn fast. One of the things that Coach Clint did allude to was the fact that second year in the system, you know, the players that are in the second year with him aren't having to be retrained, and they're basically putting the freshmen that have come in on a pretty steep learning curve and saying, you know, get with the program. If you want to play, you're going to get in here, you're going to learn it, and because we're going.
Yeah.
And so that it's been interesting, I think, to have that going on, of course, in the second year, things you would expect. The other thing that they're doing is they're cross-training a lot of the girls at multiple positions. Again, nothing that's going to hurt them going forward, because then it doesn't matter what kind of substitutions you make is, you know, if you've got a lot of your players can play multiple positions, it really doesn't matter what you do in the course of the game. You're going to have, hopefully, quality people.
I mean, they start out kids young doing that anyway. My nephew's team, they're always doing new positions, and I know people will say, well, that's Little League, but really, the more skills you learn, how can that not help your game?
Right. And hopefully this only improves. Maybe we'll get a little bit better offensively. Maybe we can keep the defensive numbers because wasn't that long ago I wrote an article about the fact that they were the tops in the nation and the SEC in defensive numbers. So, you know, I think the thing I put at the end of one of the paragraphs there was if indeed defenses do win championships, Auburn, at least in softball, is well on their way. So.
I've been looking forward to that.
Yeah, so it's going to be some exciting times come springtime. But, you know, right now, like I said, they're in fall practice. If you're down in Auburn next week, let's see, October the 2nd, they've got a couple of games going on. They're going to play Snead State at 3:30 and then Faulkner State at 6. So if you want to get a preview, get a little look at them, there's two good games to go and check them out.
I've been through Snead State. I don't even know what their mascot is.
I don't know if I can tell you either.
Sneedies?
Maybe.
Snead State Sneedies?
You know, there's somebody out there just screaming at us right now.
That's fine. In the internet, no one can hear you scream unless you type it.
All right. All capitals, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like space, except filled with incompetence.
Maybe. So, any other opening thoughts? Anything else you got?
Those are the main things. South Carolina, what's going on with you? You lose to A&M, but you beat Georgia, then you almost lose to Vanderbilt, who's having a terrible season.
Oh, and Coach Spurrier, not the old ball coach, isn't happy about the kick returns.
Of course he's not. I wouldn't be either. Whatever's going on with you guys.
I love his line that he had from his press conference. That, you know, we all know what good football teams look like, and we're not one of those.
Yep. No, I completely agree.
And what happened to LSU, by the way?
Some gut stomping, that's for sure.
Man, Dak Prescott.
What the heck? Well, you know, they're showboating, though, because they were starting to showboat a little. It almost cost them.
Yeah, they got a little comfortable.
They got a little bit in there, but, I mean, it's just interesting because I'm seeing, because, you know, these are all teams, with the exception of Vanderbilt, that Auburn plays on down the road when we begin the SEC road schedule from Hades. But it's very interesting because it's like the teams we thought were going to be a challenge aren't, and the teams that, you know, were supposed to be a challenge aren't.
Sure.
It's this weird, bizarro world happening that you'll prepare for them just the same, but it's just this kind of a weird, bizarro thing going on right now.
Right. Yeah, you feel better about the matchups with LSU and South Carolina, and now you're kind of raising your eyebrow toward Texas A&M and Mississippi State, so... We're still not really sure what Ole Miss is, but we'll get there. That being said, let's talk about something that was, speaking of uncomfortable and raising eyebrows, number 5 Auburn, number 20 Kansas State. Auburn does somehow get out of Manhattan, Kansas with that debacle with the W, but it wasn't anything like what a lot of people were looking for.
No, and here's the out. Let's go ahead and just throw out what can be considered, I guess, excuses. Thursday night, had a bye week. It's you're on the road in Manhattan, which Manhattan's considered to be tough to play in. Even still, the fact that it took them till, I'm going to say, late in the third quarter to play like Auburn, the fact that both Coates and Duke had drops on catches they should have made all day, every day, there was something just not clicking. And they even said so themselves in post-interviews, something wasn't clicking. I don't know what. I hope they get over it.
Right.
I was glad it was a tough game because, you know, that shows what they need to work on. If you survive a tough game early and if you learn from it, that's good.
But you had, I don't know how many drops from the wide receivers. It seemed like, you know, even Gus said he may have been a little stubborn, sticking with the inside run a little bit. You know, nothing seemed to be going right. And I've heard, like I said, from Twitter – and listening to other people and reading other articles, I've seen all sorts of different reasons as to why, you know, rubber pellets on the field that weren't, you know, that were put in.
Rubber pellets?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody said something about the field that Kansas State plays on, you know, there's usually rubber to help with footing.
Rubber
pellets are put down on the field like days before, so they got a chance to settle. And then this guy seemed to imply that maybe that they weren't put on days before, but hours before, so they didn't really have a chance to settle, and that's why everybody looked like, you know, maybe they were running a little bit slower than they should be. And It was, you know, the wind was swirling, like you said.
Now, the wind, I understand. I'll accept that. But.
Like you said, you know, I've heard the officials and all that. Bottom line is, I mean, as Auburn should be able to come out, even in a place like Manhattan, Kansas, on a Thursday night. It, to me, it just looked like we weren't focused. And I don't know that the guys – I'm just going to call them on it. I don't know that the guys were giving it 110%. I'm really thinking maybe they brought into their press clippings a little bit and thought that they were going to just go to Manhattan, Kansas, roll the helmets out there, and beat a Kansas State mm-hmm. team and get back home.
And let's be honest. Let's be fair. We all had that mentality. I had the mentality. You had the mentality. We all just assumed – that's how it was going to be.
Oh yeah, I'm one of the ones that thought this would be a 42 to I don't know 17 or something like that kind of game. And
now I will say this in terms of conspiracy theories and whatnot, I do adhere to the idea of the officials not doing their job because of the pictures I saw, the blatant pictures I saw of holding people's arms, you know, twisted in their jerseys, things like that. That no calls are called. Because really, the whole game, no offensive penalties called on Kansas State, really?
Yeah, they had two penalties called on them. One of them was for an out-of-bounds kick.
Right.
The other one was an offensive penalty.
It was a low block, I think, something like that.
Yeah, chop block,
but it was
like
negated.
That.
So
right, negated by a penalty on Auburn. So, yeah, no offensive penalty.
It just ticks me off, is what it does. And I here's the thing, cause that's what makes me worry when these cross-conference games. You know, you have to use one conference's officiating crew. I understand that, but at the same time, if there's going to be some kind of a bias, that's a problem.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I thought interesting, Gus's comment. One of the things was that he was noticing that the officials weren't getting the ball spotted as quickly as they'd like to. And mm-hmm. you know, as anybody who if you watch officials and kind of follow that a little bit. You know, every officiating crew is a little bit different. You know, some of them will get it down really quickly and get it spotted and hustle up, and some of them are a little bit slower. So, guys seem to think that, you know, one of the reasons that he said they weren't able to get the pace that they wanted to was the officials weren't spotting the ball quickly enough. And he said then the other part of it is, if we're not getting first downs, pace doesn't do you any good.
True.
You know, he said if they're not consistently getting first downs, it didn't do any good to go fast.
And defense was creating so many opportunities for Auburn to capitalize. Like, Auburn defensively showed up.
Mm-hmm.
They were awesome, much improved. I like what I was seeing
right.
for the most part. You know, you're never going to be perfect, but you can get pretty darn close.
Right.
Especially, apparently, run defense, spectacular to see.
Sure.
It's good. But we just need to, I don't know, to quote Rhett, because Rhett's the one, his viewpoint is the one I took the most to, which was they just need to go back to playing Auburn football. And, I mean, it should be that obvious.
Right.
Like something, I don't know. I'm assuming they're going to work it out in practice, surely to goodness. Because, okay. I mean, if that's the lowest scoring game in the Malzahn era, then, you know, we need to get some work done.
Right. Well, you know, it was an ugly game. The fortunate thing is that you take from this, and I think the coaching staff probably sees this as well, good teams find a way to win.
True. Very true.
And we're back. Sorry about that, guys. I had a little difficulty there. Finishing up what we're talking about, Kansas State, though, you know, it's just one of those things of good teams find a way to win. Gus even said in the post game that he knew the team last year could do this. Mm-hmm. This is a different team. I think that's one of the things that he says. This was good for us because we know that if we get in a difficult game, we've got guys that can find a way to win.
Yeah. It's a matter of mettle. What's your mettle? If things are bad, do you get frustrated and quit or do you keep moving?
Right.
So, and that's good that they have that because that'll be necessary.
Another thing that was interesting was if you watched Kansas State really trying to do the ball control
mm-hmm.
and hold on to the ball and have sustained drives. It's interesting. Actually, Auburn had 31 minutes of time of possession. Kansas State had 29.
Yeah.
So even at their best attempt, we still held on to the ball more, which obviously we know in Gus's philosophy – time of possession really doesn't matter. It's about putting points on the board.
Absolutely. Big score wins.
What about penalties? Auburn was penalized 6 times for 46 yards. As to the 0-0 for Kansas State. Another interesting thing, we only outgained them by 74 yards, 359 to 285. And that differential actually came in the form of 128 rushing yards to their 40. Talk about the defense stepping up. We're going to need a defensive performance like that right there that can hold a team to 40 rushing yards for 4 quarters.
And that's good. And that's just the Johnson defense kicking in like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Now, I just read an article that said that when it comes to Louisiana Tech, they're Auburn's plan to get the running game back on track because it wasn't really showing up as much this past time. And, you know, rubber pellets or ghouls coming up from the ground grabbing ankles, who knows?
Right.
But as long as the running game gets back on track, we'll see. I mean, we have weapons for a reason. We got to make sure they're clean and polished and ready to go.
Right. So any last thoughts there on the game Thursday night?
Not entirely. Just, you know, it was a tough game, but it was an early tough game. We survived. We're still undefeated. And as long as they learned from it and improved, I'll be okay. That's just my thing.
Yeah, the other thing, you know, Sammy Coates looked a little hobbled. We know he wasn't 100%. Thank goodness that we've got, you know, other receivers out there we can get the ball to. And Duke Williams, again, showing why he was highly talented coming into the season. And he really kind of showed out a little bit.
He dropped one pass, you know, that would have been a touchdown.
Right.
But as long as they can't make those mistakes, I don't know if it was a mental mistake or what that caused those drops, because some of them, it wasn't Marshall's fault on some of those throws.
Right.
Those are good passes. That being said, too, Cameron Harris Payne getting a catch in there. Didn't know he could do that. I'm happy that he can do that, but as long as he was able to pull it out and it worked, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. One more thing. I'm sorry. My brain is ADD, and I'm sorry. What was up with one? It was a drive that ended in a field goal. Why did we suddenly throw Johnson in there and him not knowing what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Went to the Wildcat, and he was out at wide receiver.
Yeah, but he didn't know why he was there.
Right. I think eventually, had they been able to get on track with that, I think eventually that winds up being a pass to Johnson.
That's what it looked like.
Catching everybody off guard. I just don't think they got that far into that scenario.
It was just really strange and didn't make sense because it threw off the tempo incredibly.
It was. I'm sure lots of other people have said this, and I'll be just echoing their sentiments. I would much rather have seen him just go right to quarterback, maybe a crossing pattern between Sammy Coates and Duke and see who's open and, you know, touchdown.
Yeah, that's what it should have been.
But, you know, hindsight's 20/20, so.
Yeah, but well, I think Gus said that happened because he was too stubborn, something like that.
Right.
So I guess it was just him wanting to see if it worked. It didn't, so I guess you got it out of his system.
Yeah, but don't think it won't show back up somewhere. He's setting somebody up.
If he can make it work, more power to him.
So, you know, well, it's very similar to what we saw Ole Miss, you know, with Cam Newton.
True.
You know, and I think that's that play you know, like I said, don't think it's just going to go away. You'll see that formation with him out there again.
Yeah, as long as it works, I'm happy.
So, and probably be a fade route to the corner of the end zone, just like the Cam Newton pass was.
That was fun.
Yeah. Hopefully a touchdown just like that one. So let's move on real quick. Louisiana Tech Bulldogs coming in this weekend, 3:00 on the SEC Network. Our Tigers will be back at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and. Ben, what do you make of this Louisiana Tech game, and what are you going to be looking for?
Well, like I said before, run game, getting back on track. Because I forget which player it was that was quoted. You know, they said, as I've said with every other game, they prepare for Louisiana Tech just like they would, you know, Georgia or Alabama. They treat them like a game and like it needs to be treated. As long as I see some polish on the offense, playing like Auburn is supposed to play. Sure. Let me put it that way. I see no worries, honestly. What was Louisiana Tech's record right now?
They're 2-2.
And who were those losses to?
Well, that's the thing about Louisiana Tech. They're a really tough team to kind of figure out. They have lost a loss to Oklahoma, where they scored 16 on Oklahoma, lost that game 48-16, first game of the year. You know, then they have two what, you know, just score-wise look like impressive wins over Louisiana Lafayette, 48-20, North Texas, 42-21. But last Saturday, they play an FCS team in Northwestern State, lose that game 30-27 at home. You don't know what to make of Louisiana Tech. It's a really tough to figure out, I guess.
I would say that they're going to come in with one of two mentalities. They're either going to be, like, demoralized because they lost to North Texas, or they're going to come in like, well, our season's not over. Let's see if we can take on this Auburn team. Because if you're demoralized and you sit there and go, oh, crap, now I have to play Auburn.
Well, I think what you might also see on their end of things, you know, Skip Holtz is a coach, from the whole Eastern Carolina days. So there's lots of film out there of what they should look like, at least.
Isn't Skip about to earn his 200th win, legitimately?
Maybe so.
I think
like
I saw something like that. Like, if he loses to Auburn, I think that's his 200th. I'm sorry, not win, loss. Excuse me. Pardon my wrongness. Yes, 200th loss.
Right.
Now to reverse that,
I do think Auburn is playing for their 300th win in Jordan Hare.
Really?
I believe so.
Interesting. Now, keep in mind, this is homecoming, too.
Homecoming,
that may be why that's homecoming. I don't know.
They're really tough to kind of figure out, because what do you do with a team that scores 16 on Oklahoma, albeit the first game of the season, puts up 48-42, but then you lose to an FCS team at home? It's really tough to pin down.
You shut them down early is what you do.
So, and you talk about, you know, demoralized and all that kind of, you know, all those kind of mental ideas. You know, is this a thing where Louisiana Tech comes in and if Auburn, you know, does what they're supposed to do and takes over the game early and scores early and often, then do they have that mindset of, well, this is the number five team in the nation, this is what we're supposed to do? Or is it one of those things where, you know, this potentially just kind of maybe ruins the rest of their season, even though they've got, you know, winnable games probably down through the schedule. They lose this one, then with three losses, you know, the wheels maybe start falling apart.
Well, because here's what I say Auburn should do, and this is not a knock against Louisiana Tech. They need to run up the scoreboard, and let me tell you why. Build up their morale from the tough Kansas State game, because you know who's after Louisiana Tech? It's LSU.
LSU at home.
Okay, now yes, LSU just came off a tough loss to Mississippi State.
Well, they're going
to
be mad.
Yeah, they are, and especially after they have one player stomping their guts. I'd be mad too. So build them around, get them excited, get them pumped, saying, you know, we can just – I want a positive mentality, because if you go in there and just kind of coast, you know, yeah, that's good, but it doesn't show what you're capable of. You don't need to just rest on your laurels. You just need to be able to know that you can go in there and play if you need to.
Well, here's what I'm looking for and expecting. I'll hopefully be watching, you know, sitting down watching the game, you know, 3:00 at SEC Network. And here's what I'm hoping to see. I'm hoping to see a lot of, you know, Nick Marshall hopefully throwing the ball, getting that in rhythm, working out any of the kinks there. So maybe throwing the ball early, leaning on the run, and then, you know, starters out by halftime. There's no reason, I can't find a reason why starters shouldn't be out by halftime. That Jeremy Johnson, Peyton Barber, Brock Thomas, you know, and whoever else, the whole cast of characters, you know, again, tune them up, find out what they can do in the second half of this ball game, you know, and it just be a nice, boring, comfortable homecoming win.
Yeah. I mean, well, it won't be boring now because, A, it's homecoming, and B, honoring Iron Bowl win from 1989.
Well, that's true, but I'm talking about boring in the fact that there's no stress, the game, you know, by the end of the first quarter, you realize, you know.
Side note, though, if they do that stupid film room crap again, then it will be stressful.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's just...
But was that SEC Network?
It was ESPN2, but same family.
That's true.
Either way, I hope whoever did that was fired or reprimanded something.
Right. That was bad.
That was terrible. Yeah, and ideally, yes, starters should be out at halftime. That's what we're looking for.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with that. I think that's what needs to happen.
I'm even okay, and some people may disagree. Ben, you may disagree with this as well. I'm even okay. You know what? If Sammy Coates isn't 100%,
let him sit out and rest
the whole game. I don't know that we, you know, this is no knock on Sammy Coates or anything. I don't know that this is the kind of game that we need him for. I want him healthy. I want him 100% for LSU, Mississippi State, and going on down the line.
I want him healthy too, but I wouldn't say the whole game. I would say at minimum, let him take a few catches, something like that, just to see how he handles it in game time situation. Because yes, LSU, Mississippi State, all them, they're going to be tougher. But see how he handles it, because you're not really going to know in practice when you're backing off on the speed of it a little bit.
Right.
He needs to be in a real game just to see how he handles it. That's what I would say, too.
Right. So, you know, and guys, don't be surprised if early on maybe it looks a little bit like the San Jose State game. I do know this about Louisiana Tech. They throw the ball a good bit. The quarterback, and they've got a wide receiver that have a good rapport with one another. But again, I think if you tell me you're going to have a score reminiscent of San Jose State, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. I just don't want to see a first possession fumble.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that.
Ball security.
Ball security is key.
Looking at you, Rock Thomas and Nick Marshall. I guess not a whole lot to say. I know we'll get a whole lot more in depth. I know next week when we look ahead to the SEC schedule and LSU, Mississippi State coming up, all that. So score prediction, just something you want to throw out there, Ben? About, I don't know, 6 o'clock or so, final score is?
Let's just say it's like San Jose State, 59-14, something like that.
Okay, all right.
13.
I'm gonna go 52-17. And again, I'm looking for something very similar to the San Jose State game. I have seen some of my fellow contributors on College and Magnolia, different places, maybe hinting at this is the game we break 60.
I'm okay with that.
We will see.
Cover that spread with some cheese.
There you go. But you know, I still think we're comfortably in the 50s. That we play hard all the way to the end. And you know, like I said, it's maybe a 52-17 kind of feel to it. Sit back and enjoy this one, guys. Enjoy homecoming, and it'll be good to put another W on the board. It'd be 4-0.
And no more Saturdays without Auburn football outside of the bye week. That's weird. I don't like it.
There you go. So as we close up, ways you can get a hold of us. We've got at Second Takes, as always, on Twitter. We're found on the War Eagle Sports Radio app and secondtakespodcast@gmail.com. And we're currently working on, in progress, a website, and so be listening for that in the episodes to come as we kind of fine tune that and get it just like we want it.
Oh, we're tuning it all right.
But we'll have it up. It'll have our podcast archive, any guest appearances that we have on other shows, some of our thoughts on the game in writing. I know we've got some video spots, some different things up there for you to just for you to read through the course of the week, just to hopefully help the week go by a little bit faster. Ben, anything you got spinning out there that people need to know about?
This morning actually posted the latest episode of Unimportant Radio.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a good one. Fun stuff happens in that one. As usual, it's always fun anyway.
It is.
But, go give it a listen. And then, tell me on Twitter how I ramble sometimes.
Yeah.
People do that.
But until then, until next time that we're together, Ben, enjoy homecoming.
I will.
And look forward to a big win. And guys, War Eagle.
War Eagle.